Today on Gospel of Life, join me as I bring seminarians to one of their most powerful encounters with the unborn. I'm Father Frank Pavone, Director of Gospel of Life Ministries. Welcome to our program. We're joined by Janet Miranda, our Associate Director. Now, Janet, recently I was with a group of seminarians, as I often am, speaking to them about the Gospel of Life and how to preach it and how to counsel people for a pro-life activity. But this was special. This was different because together with me and the seminarians, we had an unborn baby. And we honored that unborn child with a wake service. And we want to show our viewers some of that today. Tell us, and we've talked in different programs about this same theme, but this was yet another one of those key moments whereby we reveal, we expose to people the hidden violence of abortion. And we bring the abortion issue to the point where it is real for people in a way that it cannot be just through words.
Well, again, this is a baby who was killed by abortion and was disposed of improperly, you know, thrown in, basically like in a dumpster, and was given in your care to see mm-hmm. to it that it had a proper wake service and then eventually burial. And you, like you said, you had the opportunity to let the seminarians see this aborted child laid out in the casket because, you know, I think nothing will help them preach about the damage abortion is doing to society mm-hmm. than to look face-to-face with a child that's been killed through abortion.
Well, that's where it starts. We have to face things as they are. If Christianity, if the gospel, if the scriptures tell us anything, they tell us that we have to face evil and we have to face truth. Face-to-face. Not with any pretensions or dilutions or excuses or distractions or rationalizations. No, we have to face it head-on. And that's what we were doing for these men. Because if they're going to preach the gospel and they don't know how to face up to evil, then you can't do it. You cannot effectively advance the gospel unless you can deal with these kind of things.
That's right. And of course, Jesus gave us the own example in himself with crucifixion. I mean, Jesus' death was violent and bloody, and yet we look at that crucifix to remember what his sacrifice meant for us and to how it was for our salvation. Well, we're not going to get this society that looks at choice in such a cloudy way in abortion to really face the reality unless when we have a chance to honor these children that have been aborted, we do so with this reverence. But at the same time, you know, this wake service could have been held with the casket closed the entire time. But no, we have to open the casket and let them look to see this is the face of abortion.
And it doesn't matter how many times people have heard words about abortion or heard talks about it or read books about it. When they see these babies, not sometimes, not most of the time, but all of the time, they are deeply moved, as if realizing for the first time what's going on with this tragedy.
Yeah. Well, at this service, you know, Father, you had an opportunity to preach, and it was a very powerful sermon you gave. So let's take a look at a clip we have of that preaching at this wake service.
Day after day, throughout this nation and throughout the world, people speak, write, debate, vote on the contentious issue of abortion. And yet for most people, this is no more than a word. For most people, this is no more than a concept. And very often the concept they have when they hear the word bears almost no resemblance to the horrifying reality. St. Paul says to the Ephesians, "Have no part in the fruitless works of darkness, but rather expose them." This is the judgment, John says in his gospel. The light came into the world, but men loved darkness rather than light, They ran away from the light for fear that their deeds would be exposed. But those who love the Lord run towards the light. And that's what we're doing here tonight. We're giving meaning to a word that has practically lost all its meaning. We're exposing the fruitless works of darkness. We are shining the light on a tragedy which, unless it is exposed, simply will not end. One of the members of our pastoral staff at Priests for Life is Dr. Alveda King, niece of Martin Luther King, Jr. She marches with us in the pro-life marches. She speaks full-time on this issue. She travels coast to coast. She has been with baby Abel in ceremonies like this. When I first marched with her in Washington at the annual March for Life, I said to her as we were going up Constitution Avenue towards the Supreme Court, I said, does this remind you of the civil rights movement and the marches with your uncle? And she turned to me and she said, Father Frank, this is the civil rights movement. We're talking about real people really suffering. And Dr. King, of course, caused all kinds of controversy as he went around the country fighting segregation. Controversy that got him and others thrown in jail. Hopefully you're quite familiar with his letter from the Birmingham jail. Do you know why he wrote that letter? In which he defended the activism and the protests and the very heart and core of the thirst for justice and the struggle for equality that he and his people underwent. Do you know why he had to write that letter sitting in jail in the city of Birmingham, Alabama? Because 8 people signed a letter saying to him that the protests were untimely, unproductive, and in fact wrong. And sadly, those 8 people who signed that letter were all members of the clergy. Clergymen who thought that Dr. King was just causing a little bit too much trouble. Too much division. In fact, that he was even fomenting violence. Because after all, if you just let things be, people won't decide to resort to violence in order to end the problem of segregation. Dr. King's response is as valid today as it was then, and it is as applicable to the fight against abortion as it was to the fight against segregation. He said, "It is not we who are fomenting violence. We are simply exposing to the natural light of human conscience a division and a violence that is already there. And unless it is exposed to the light of human conscience, the problem will never be solved." Well, friends, I often quote the responsibilities that Scripture lays out for us to the souls and the bodies of our brothers and sisters, living and deceased. And so, Janet, we went on with that ceremony and allowed the seminarians to come up one by one to honor the bodies of these babies. And this is part of a culture of life when we respond to children in this way. And you know, you think about the abortion industry. As I do these ceremonies in different parts of the country, I think about how they pay so much money to hire public relations experts to teach them how to cover over, how to mask over the realities that we're showing on this very program right now. I mean, this is hand-to-hand combat with the abortion industry when you think about it. Showing pictures like this. And we have these videos posted on our website, as you know, again, at gospeloflife.com. People can go there, and that's what we want them to do. Go there, grab these videos, link to them from their own website, send them out to their email lists, let people see. And especially, isn't it a powerful challenge to those who aren't sure what they think about abortion or who say that they are pro-choice? Isn't it a powerful and effective challenge to say to them, Have you ever seen one? Because if they can't say that they have, how can they say that they support it?
That's right. And, you know, when you look at that child, too, that baby in the casket, whether, you know, it's an unborn child, boy or girl, that's your brother. That's your sister. That's, you know, a fellow Christian, really, who's been killed. And I think that makes the abortion issue more personal for people to say, hey, this is why I'm out there on the sidewalk praying in front of an abortion clinic, or this is why I'm doing my pro-life work, is to save these children. It is to intervene, because I am responsible. And one day we all are going to be held accountable. What did you do to try to save your unborn brothers and sisters?
We have a clip of more of the ceremony of this particular day up at Holy Apostles Seminary in Cromwell, Connecticut. So let's roll that clip now and see the rest of this ceremony.
My soul is waiting for the Lord. I count on His word. More than watchmen wait for the dawn. O Israel, wait for the Lord. I place all my trust in You, my God. All my hope is in Your saving word. Spirit who dwells in our hearts, both now and forever. Father, all-powerful, eternal God, You called mankind into being out of dust and formed man and woman in Your own likeness. Through sin, death entered the world. And through the blood of Jesus Christ, and through His passion and resurrection, You have conquered death and once again reclaimed humanity for Your own. Look with mercy upon us as we mourn the death of our brother Abel, and as we mourn the death of every child who has been killed by the violence of abortion. Lord, tonight inspire in our hearts a new reverence, and may we atone for the callous disregard of human life shown each day in our world. We ask that our time tonight, commending to You again the body and soul of our brother, may make us effective witnesses of life and of reconciliation in the world. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Amen. I invite you tonight, after we have a period of silence, after we sing again to the Lord, tonight I want to invite you to come forward. I want to invite you to come close. And to hear Abel ask a question, where is your brother? To hear the blood of this child speak, and then to hear the blood of Jesus Christ speak even louder. To hear God say, my people, do justice. Wash yourselves clean. Put away your misdeeds from before my eyes. Cease doing evil. What evil, O Lord? We haven't killed anybody. Cease doing evil by your silence. Cease doing evil by giving in to your fears, your cowardice. Cease doing evil by continuing to ask the question, if I stop to help this man, what will happen to me? Lord God, we ask for healing. We ask for reconciliation. We ask for a culture of life. We ask that we may truly live each day as our brother's keeper. Give him eternal rest. May perpetual light shine upon him and upon all the departed. May his soul and the souls of all the faithful departed, through the mercy of God, rest in peace. Amen.
I will sing.
Well, friends, I hope that as you are moved by these scenes, that you rededicate yourself to the things you're doing to bring an end to the tragedy of abortion. As always, at gospeloflife.com, we have practical, concrete suggestions of things that you can undertake to reach your friends, your family, people within your communities and churches, to mobilize and educate them on the pro-life issues.
You know, Father, when people do see ceremonies like that, I'm sure they must ask us, well, what did you do with the baby after the wake service? And I want to assure our viewers that that baby then was given a proper burial, and the child is resting in peace now with a proper like you had the wake service and burial.
Yes, exactly. And many of these places where aborted babies are buried become places of healing, don't
they?
That's
right. Well, yes, because I know from the women, you know, who've given their testimonies at the Silent No More Awareness campaign or our website, silentnomoreawareness.org, they tell you that one of the sorrows they have in their heart is, where is my child? I can't go anyplace to grieve the loss of my child. Well, as these tombs or grave sites are set up, now they have a place. So, for example, there is one at Holy Apostles in Cromwell, Connecticut, where an aborted baby is buried.
Yes, that's right.
Now,
I believe it's the only seminary in the country right now that has an aborted baby actually buried on the grounds.
That's right. And I know there's some aborted children buried at Steubenville in Ohio.
Franciscan University.
That's
yes.
Right. There's, of course, we had mentioned on this program, Hansville, Alabama. Mm-hmm. The sisters down there have a beautiful memorial there set up where their aborted children are buried there.
Assumption Grotto in Detroit. Assumption Grotto is a church. And I buried 7 aborted babies in that particular cemetery, and that's a place, too, where people can visit them.
Yeah, and then there's Rachel's Park Memorial in Texas.
Yes.
Where they also have, I believe it's in Waco, Texas.
In Waco, our associate Rusty Thomas, who's
right.
on these programs,
yeah.
runs
so
that.
There are, it's beginning to spread now around the country where, when they found these aborted children, more and more communities are coming forward to give them proper burials and a place where women can then go and grieve the loss of their children.
That healing is so critical. It has to be physical. There needs to be a physical component there.
Right.
Because the baby is killed by abortion and you don't have a body to hold. You don't usually see the body. There's no closure there to the abortion experience.
Right.
She just tries to get it out of her mind as quickly as possible, run away, immerse herself back into her work or, unfortunately, and sometimes into drugs and alcohol. These places bring closure for those that need the healing, to the fathers as well as to the mothers.
That's right.
But they're also a sign to the rest of us that we need to be active in defending these children.
Yeah.
Well, thanks, Janet. Living stones, that's what Scripture says we are. As the stones where these babies are buried testify, we must be living stones, working for life. We'll be right back with more ideas of how you can do that.
There is a crisis in America. A Holocaust that takes the lives of more than 3,000 children every day through the horrific act of abortion. Yet despite this tragic loss, we are gaining victory over this culture of death. In the last 12 years, half of the nation's freestanding abortion clinics have closed, and the abortion industry is on the run. Gospel of Life Ministries has played a vital role in the rescue of countless children and is currently in place to save thousands more. But we urgently need your support to make this happen. Not everyone can be on the front line of this battle, but when you support Gospel of Life, you are saving lives. Your life-saving gift of $25, $50, or $100 will help us provide alternatives to women who think they have no choice but abortion. And for those countless women who have lost children to abortion, Gospel of Life Ministries will help them find forgiveness, healing, and peace in the cross of Christ, and become outspoken advocates for the lives of their unborn children. The help you provide will also bring the saving word of life to churches through a training program that is raising a mass voice that will see abortion stopped. With your gift of $25, we'll send you the booklet, Pro-Life, Today and Always. It will give you an overview of why we are pro-life and provide reflections that will stir and motivate you to action. With your gift of $50, we'll also send you the DVD, The Procedure. In this powerful DVD, you'll hear abortionists discuss the procedure in their own words and unmask the violence that the abortion industry tries to hide. And when you give a gift of $100, we'll also include the book, Forbidden Grief. This compelling book will open your eyes to the psychological damage done to those who have had an abortion experience. Please, call, write, or make your gift online today.
Friends, welcome to our action segment. Do you ever sit watching TV and wish that you could be the one on the other end of the camera telling people exactly what you think and exactly what your responses are to the things that are going on in the world? The good news is you can. And it's just as powerful and influential, if not more so, than the program you're watching me send to you right now. I'm talking, of course, about YouTube, MySpace, and Facebook, the internet social networking sites where you can have your own channel. Janet, let's talk more about this. People literally can send out the messages, the videos that they want, and it's not just a matter of sending these things out, but of establishing networks, groups, communities, opportunities to find and to communicate with people of like mind around any particular topic of interest they want on these various social networking sites.
Well, I know, Father, you know, at Gospel Life, you have already done this. We have, you have your own YouTube channel. And I think what people maybe are confused that think you need, like, these TV cameras that we're coming to them through now in order to do this. But why don't you tell everyone how you do your own YouTube taping?
Well, it's very simple. You get a simple camera, and it doesn't have to be the kind of quality cameras for TV broadcasts. You get a simple camera, sometimes just a cell phone camera, and you make a little video, and then it results in a little video file that you just send up to YouTube over the internet, or to MySpace, or to Facebook, and it's so simple that grade school children are doing this. You just need a little bit of software, and that's it. And you're communicating with people. And like I say, not only do you post your video, but then people can comment on it back and forth. You get discussions going about what's on that video. But then also you join groups. You can join YouTube groups or start them yourself, Facebook groups, MySpace groups. And people who are looking up a particular topic, pro-life or abortion or whatever your topic of interest is, will find you and you will find them. And then you can communicate either publicly with that person or even privately with that person. You come to see and know people that you would have never encountered before.
Now, when you go up to YouTube, you're going to what? It's youtube.com. Okay.
So it's a website, essentially. Which ends up being both a TV channel and a meeting place.
Okay. So now suppose our viewers say, okay, let's go find Father Frank on YouTube. Tell us exactly how would they do this?
Well, first of all, we have links to all of our accounts and all of our channels right on gospeloflife.com. But then if you go to YouTube directly, you just put Father Frank Pavone, FRFRANKPAVONE, and that brings up our page. We also have a PFLTV page, which is Priests for Life. And we put videos there of our pastoral team, yourself, right. Dr. Alveda King, our other priests and pastoral associates, Dr. Teresa Burke of Rachel's Vineyard and Kevin Burke. So they're all up there giving messages, giving updates, and again, interacting with people that are interested in those topics.
That's right. So now suppose someone, they go up there and they look at the things we've done and they're inspired. How can they get their own YouTube channel?
YouTube.com, and you can just sign up right there. It has the sign up box. It's not difficult at all, and it's free.
And then, of course, in addition, these videos are rated. If you look, they give them how many stars and how many views. So it's really encouraging to see how many of these programs get these videos.
Let me also point out that that there is a GodTube as well, and people will see a link there to our account on GodTube. And there's also a CatholicTube for those that are Catholic and want to interact specifically with Catholics. GodTube, of course, those who are believers, Christians of all denominations, and of course on GodTube and CatholicTube, you've got your theme is going to be more explicitly religious, and people of like mind will get together. Okay. Well, thanks, Janet. Folks, let's use these tools. God has given them to us to spread the gospel and to spread the pro-life message. Thanks for joining us. Promote our program, support our ministry, and we'll see you next week.
You were looking at the face of an unborn child, 25 and a half weeks into pregnancy. This child can be legally killed by abortion in America. As this ad from the Yellow Pages proves, some abortion clinics sell abortions up to 28 weeks. Abortion kills living children whose hearts are beating and whose bodily organs are all in place. Abortion. Haven't we gone too far?
There is a crisis in America, a Holocaust that takes the lives of more than 3,000 children every day through the horrific act of abortion. Yet despite this tragic loss, we are gaining victory over this culture of death. With your gift of $25, we'll send you the booklet, Pro-Life, Today and Always. It will give you an overview of why we are pro-life and provide reflections that will stir and motivate you to action. With your gift of $50, we'll also send you the DVD, The Procedure. In this powerful DVD, you'll hear abortionists discuss the procedure in their own words and unmask the violence that the abortion industry tries to hide. And when you give a gift of $100, we'll also include the book, Forbidden Grief. This compelling book will open your eyes to the psychological damage done to those who have had an abortion experience. Please call, write, or make your gift online today. Father Frank A. Pavone, Director of Gospel of Life Ministries, is an internationally known pro-life activist, speaker, and author. He has been the National Director of Priests for Life since 1993 and appears regularly in the religious and secular media. He has served at the Vatican's Pontifical Council for the Family. He has been a spiritual guide for Norma McCorvey, the former Jane Roe of the Supreme Court's abortion decision, Roe v. Wade. Father Frank is president of the National Pro-Life Religious Council, an umbrella group of many denominations working to end abortion. Father Frank is also the National Pastoral Director and Board Chairman of Rachel's Vineyard, the world's largest ministry of healing after abortion. Father Frank is a Catholic priest of the Diocese of Amarillo, Texas, and carries out his pro-life mission with the permission of his bishop. For more information on Father Frank and Priests for Life, visit www.priestsforlife.org. Gospel of Life program is made possible by the supporters of Gospel of Life Ministries and Priests for Life. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of stopping abortion and providing post-abortion healing. Specific outreaches mentioned are examples of the programs conducted and supported. Gifts are considered to be without use restriction unless specifically stipulated by the donor.